Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast with Paul Sollentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Thank you very much for listening. Our guest today is Xavier Bell. Xavier is a 6'2" guard from Wichita, attended Andover Central High School. He's a senior in his third season at Wichita State. He is averaging 15.1 points, 3.1 rebounds for the Shockers. In American Athletic Conference play, he is averaging 16.5 points, and he earned Player of the Week honors in the conference on Monday. After scoring 24 points in a win at FAU and 23 in Sunday's win over Tulane, the Shockers are 17-10. They're on a six-game win streak. They are back at home on Thursday to play UAB, 8 p.m., Koch Arena on ESPNU. Xavier, the Shockers are 6-0 in February. Maybe you can even include there was a close loss to North Texas on January 29th and kind of this turnaround timeline. When did you start to feel good about this team's direction over the last month or so?
It was more so just about, the win we got on the road over at Charlotte. Feeling good about that. I know we beat them here previously a couple weeks before that. But, it was just about stacking wins at that point. We knew we had a tough South Florida team coming up right after that. So just, just trying to, stay level-headed, try to go 1-0 and, just figure out what we can do to get better for the next game. We did know what situation we were in with being 1-7 at the time in conference. But just trying to, stick together, find ways and solutions just to, get better through it all for sure.
Yeah, one of the really nice things about this streak is three of those wins have come on the road, which everybody knows it's very difficult to win on the road. Why has this team been good on the road recently?
You just feel a level of connectivity. I've said that in previous interviews before, but just down the stretch, man, we're able to kind of lean on each other, come up with those big plays, big rebounds, or knock down the big free throws that we need to just across the board, one through whoever's playing, one through five, one through seven, whoever's playing that game. But just leaning on each other, trusting each other in the hard moments because, that month of January was very tough for us, just all around.
Tough month of January. What was Coach Paul Mills' role in keeping things on the right direction, even when you were struggling?
He's more so, man, just a solutions guy, so just trying to identify problems and address them head on. We had a lot of very tough, connected team, conversations after a couple of losses and, those kind of start to feel repetitive. But in the moment and then down the stretch, man, you see we needed those moments. We didn't need to just, accept the loss and go home and everybody go their separate ways. We all needed to kind of sit and feel this and feel, what it feels like and then just try and find ways to get better through it all for sure.
I think our impression of Paul Mills is that he's pretty calm. He's pretty level-headed. We know he's process driven. He talks about that a lot. Now I've been enough practice to know he can raise his voice. He can get on people. You've talked about tough film sessions, but overall it feels like he's set a pretty positive, let's find the next right thing to do tone. Is that just crucial when you're going through a tough January?
Definitely, man. And it's tough, obviously, at the same time. A lot of people are very tender in those moments as far as, not winning so much and then just keep, doing the hard work, doing the hard film sessions and still not coming out on top. It's very tough for everybody across the board. But to have Coach Mills at the head of the snake, like you said, a very calm, very process-driven individual who just dives head first into the process, man. That's just kind of the big thing he was, stressing on us, just to keep showing up, keep, doing the little things, keep doing, whatever it is that the team needs from each individual at that moment. And so just leaning on that and everybody hearing that, especially from, who everybody looks to in those hard moments, the top guy on the team and in the organization, is very huge for this, I would say, for this team and for the momentum swing that we've had, for sure.
He's talked about slowing the pace, slowing the tempo on offense. From my vantage point, it looks like you're calling more set plays, that kind of stuff. From your perspective, how has that helped?
It's been very beneficial. I think it's just been a lot more connectivity on offense, just trying to get the best, best shot, best opportunity we can in that moment, and relying on our defense and understanding that we can control the pace of the game, no matter who we're playing. If we just play hard-nosed defense, rebound the ball, and try and execute our stuff on offense, if we can get a shot up, we got guys in Quincy Ballard, Ronnie DeGray, Corey Washington, guys who can go fetch extra possessions if a shot doesn't go in, and that's kind of been our identity, is just rebounding and defending for sure.
Ronnie DeGray III, he's back from injury, and that's helped a lot in those areas that you mentioned. What does Ronnie do for this team?
He does everything, man. You know, a lot of stuff that he does never shows up on a stat sheet, whether that be, you know, a burn cut to get somebody open for a wide open shot, a corner crash for extra possession on offense. It's more so just all the dirty work, all the hard nose stuff, the junkyard dog stuff that, you know, you don't really see on a stat sheet, but he's doing it every single day in practice and in the games, and he's making it look effortless. And honestly, you know, you see the impact that he's had on this team as far as winning and everything like that. And we probably wouldn't be in this position without him. So we're very, very, very appreciative of what he brings to the table.
So we know fans love seeing players who dive on the floor, hustle, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Can you and your teammates tell that the fans are really responding to those kind of plays recently?
Definitely, man. And our coach always, you know, has fed us that in film sessions and in places that he's coached in areas before too, just expressing how fans love, you know, the hustle plays and the dirty work, not necessarily the pretty stuff and everything, and all that stuff is cool, but we're just trying to, you know, make our identity in being gritty and diving on the floor, getting those extra possessions, getting those extra, you know, 50-50 balls, and essentially, hopefully, you know, that energy will feed off into the crowd, and then their energy will feed off back into us, and that's just kind of, you know, the biggest thing that we want. But at the same time, man, we're trying to lean on each other and understand that, you know, whether it's a home game or an away game, you know, we love and appreciate our supporters, but it's only us out there when the ball is tipped up, for sure.
Bijan Cortez has moved into the starting lineup. He's playing really well, especially over the past three games. After Sunday's game, we asked about him. Harland Beverly called him a connector. How do you describe what Bijan's doing recently for the Shockers?
I mean, Harlan kind of hit it on the nail. I would say a connector on offense. You know, you kind of look at, and a lot of people look at Bijan as a pass-first point guard, and I would say even now he still is. He's still, you know, trying to make the right play, set up, whether a Quincy Ballard lob or a wide open three for whoever the case may be, or a driving opportunity for someone. He's definitely, you know, kind of more comfortable in that role of running the set and getting everybody where they need to be on offense. And at the same time, lately, you just see he's been a lot more confident himself, and if he has something, he'll take it. And that's been very huge for us down the stretch. And I think just him continuing to do that, him continuing to look for his opportunities, but at the same time have the ability to create for others, will be huge for us down this home stretch, for sure.
It's been fun watching him play. I think he had 9 assists on Sunday. He's been really a helpful part of this. So I've seen you here in the gym, practice gym, the arena, early hours. You're working on runners, working on bank shots, so forth. You've got a manager, David, mm-hmm. right, You usually work with David a lot. He's passing or defending against you. How much do you work on those kind of acrobatic shots?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's more so just everyday, I would say everyday vitamins, daily vitamins is what they're kind of called in our close niche as a team and everything. But it's more so just about getting in the gym, man, just getting a feel for the ball and just, you know, trying to stay active, trying to do something, you know, every single day. You know, a left-handed shot, a left-handed runner, floater, whatever you guys call it. I've done that my entire life. And so it's more so just about just continuing to stack days, continue to do, you know, what I'm used to. And then in those moments, just trying to make the right decisions and right reads as far as high finish, regular finish, or if it's even a finish instead of, you know, kicking out for a teammate or anything like that, for sure.
Yeah, being left-handed, how do you think that helps?
I if you ask me, man, I think left-handers are the best hands ever. It's great, man. It is definitely a little awkward for, you know, a traditional right-hand defender and a right-hand player who is kind of used to maybe guarding another right-hand player, another right-hand defender. So just to kind of keep their defender on the heels, and, you know, I just kind of look at it as just needing as little space as I need to just to try and create for myself and for others at the same time. But just trying to play the right way, man, trying to play the right basketball, get the right shot, and not force, you know, anything, for sure.
How many times has an opposing coach or a player stopped you after a game and said, we knew you were going left and we couldn't do anything about it?
Mm-hmm. I don't want to, you know, toot my own horn or anything at all. It's been a number of times, but I just, you know, I tip my hat to everybody, you know, who's putting in the work the same as me. You know, right-hand drivers can finish as great as left-hand drivers, I feel like. But, you know, left-handers is just a little more special because you don't see a lot of people doing it for sure.
So you are really good at closing games because you are an excellent free throw shooter. So you spent 2 years at Drexel, previous seasons at WSU, you're around a 75% foul shooter, which is pretty good. This season, you're shooting 88.2%, if that holds up. You ranked ninth in Shocker history. How did you improve? How did you bump it up? How did you go from good to great, I guess, is the question.
You know, honestly, man, just more so just, you know, trying to take my time and understand that this is a free opportunity, a free throw, you know, something I've shot since I was maybe 6-7 years old at the YMCA, something like that. But just, you know, me and my dad, we always had a lot of talks, you know, before the season, everything. But it was more so just about just settling down, focusing in on the shot, and then just trying to have the same form, same follow-through every single time. You know, I shoot, I wouldn't say a crazy number of free throws every single day, but when I do step up to the line, I try and make, you know, so many in a row at a time, but just to try and keep that same form, that same motion, and just, you know, just try and clear my head of anything else that's going on in the moment and just try and, you know, be where my feet are for sure.
Describe your routine. Are you thinking something every time you go up there? What's going through your mind?
Honestly, man, I really don't think I am. I kind of just, you know, I take it for opportunity for what it is. You know, it doesn't, to me, I don't really, you know, try and focus on situation of where it's at in the game or, you know, what's on the line. It's more so, it's a free throw, man. You step up. You do what you've been doing, so it's one dribble, you just spin it on your hand, and you don't try and think too much, you don't try and think, okay, maybe two dribbles this time. You don't get away from your normal or from what you do every single day, so just trying to be confident in that and be confident in myself and know that I've put in enough time and enough work to knock down a simple free throw for sure.
And I kind of have the same question about three-point shooting. You were a good three-point shooter at Drexel. You slipped back to 29% last season. Mm-hmm. This season, you're back really shooting the ball well, 37.2%. Take us through your three-point shooting and why it's improved.
That's just, you know, I would say it's a testament to David, to everybody who, you know, kind of swings the ball and finds me. But it's more so just trying to get reps up every single day, you know, from June till about beginning of August, right before middle of August, me and David just kind of, you know, we repped out a lot of dribble threes, a lot of dribble twos, a lot of catch and shoot threes, just a different number of shots, a variety of shots, I would say, just to put me in different situations to just be comfortable and just try and, you know, replicate the same mentality, same mindset from a free throw, that it's just the same form, same rhythm every single time, and not necessarily try and catch, think about it so much, and then shoot it.
Hi, this is Rick Miuma, president of Wichita State University. Check out the latest episode of the Forward Together podcast. Each episode, I sit down with different guests from Shocker Nation to celebrate the vision and mission of Wichita State University. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you mentioned David Aukerman, who is a guy that you work with all the time. Over my years here, I've seen, yeah, guys just like certain people sometimes to work with, whether it was an assistant coach like Greg Heyer, Xavier Holland on this staff. I see him working with guys. What does David do that really helps you?
You know, he's been very hands-on with me, man. He kind of just, you know, really, I say, took me under his wing. It's kind of a funny term, you know, for the position he's in. But, you know, me and him, we're kind of like brothers, man. We spend so much time together in the gym just talking about different things that we could do, different ways to get back left. But at the same time, man, I think the biggest thing that for me that's kind of been different from last year is just, you know, he's really been so hands-on to the point of like creating film for me, you know, from games, from previous games that I've played, and then obviously from teams coming up, and we just kind of sit and really dissect about, you know, what's there, what's not, and then just try and play in the right space, and really just little things that add up, you know, over the course of the year. So a lot of those film sessions, you know, just stack up over time, just keep showing up every single day, keep being, you know, repetitive in our shot process and in our finishing process, and then just trying to show up each and every day. Like I said, the daily vitamins, they'll stack they'll add up and they'll and stacking days together. It's just kind of been our biggest thing, but it's more so just been about the consistency of how much we're in here and how much, you know, we just stay committed to the process that we've kind of, you know, laid out. And that's just with film sessions and then just showing up before practice, staying after practice, and then just, you know, kind of trying to run with that for sure.
Those positions can be a great training ground for a future coach. Does Definitely. David want to get into coaching?
Definitely, man. You know, he talks about stuff that he wants to do a lot, and I think he's a very, very, very smart, bright individual. Super, super hands-on as far as, you know, at the manager level, GA level that he's at now, but just all the potential in the world, man, to be a head coach somewhere, to be, you know, the head of some organization somewhere, with just how knowledgeable and how, I would say, you know, committed he is to the process and the journey that he's on, and then just understanding that, you know, areas where he can give back and necessarily, and in this case, him giving back to me has been super beneficial to my, you know, process lately, I would say for sure. But him more specifically, I do think he definitely has a bright future in coaching, or, you know, whatever it is that he chooses for sure.
There are a lot of behind the scenes people here that help out all the athletic teams. That's for sure. David would be one of them. Your dad, Wayne, he played football at Wichita State, and you are named for Xavier McDaniel, friend of your father's, great basketball player in the 1980s. I think everybody's aware of that. Has playing back in your hometown, has that been what you would have expected when you came here 3 years ago?
You know, man, I just really look at everything as a one big blessing. You know, you ask me in high school, junior, senior year, honestly, are you going to play for Wichita State? Will you ever play for Wichita State down the road? And, you know, my confident self might say maybe, just not being committed to a school at the time. But, you know, I never would have pictured any of this. I never would have pictured, you know, coming back after 3 years, going through, you know, the tough stretches that I did here, especially being from here. But at the same time, man, just sticking it out and seeing, you know, the bright side of things and the other side of things, and experiencing winning, you know, being from here, being a 1,000-point scorer at Wichita State University after I just, you know, was a 1,000-point scorer in high school. All that stuff means a lot to me, man. And being from here and doing it in a crowd that is a little familiar with me, like I said, growing up here my entire life, it's super beneficial, and it definitely holds, you know, a special place in my heart. And I think, you know, I wear that, and I have a chip on my shoulder, and just, you know, hold a lot of pride behind being from Wichita, and, you know, just putting that jersey on every single day for sure.
Did you have a favorite Shocker growing up?
I was always around when Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker were here, so I would say, you know, those guys are like my favorite Shocker. Clay Anthony Early, Marcus McDuffie, you know, Zach Brown, guys like that. I actually had the opportunity, I remember one time in high school, being able to get in the gym once with Zach Brown, with the trainer that I trained with. But other than that, man, I would say, you know, that group of guys is really my favorite. I don't really have one, you know, pinpoint Shocker. I would say it's like, oh, man, he's been, you know, the best for me. But, like I said, those group of guys, and then the older guys, even Xavier McDaniel, Ari Sherrod, Cheese Johnson, you know, guys like that who are still local and everything, that see me and are familiar with me, they'll stop and even say something to me. So I just think, you know, just Wichita State and Wichita State basketball is just one big, you know, family that, you know, essentially stretches across so many, you know, generations and everything like that. And it's just, it all just feels like a very, very big connected brotherhood, you know, no matter the age gap for sure. So
does Xavier McDaniel ever text you or text your dad and say something like, good work scoring 24 points, why didn't you get 20 rebounds like I used to?
he doesn't have our number or anything. I don't think so. He hasn't texted me, but he has come to a couple of games in the recent years, and that sounds a little bit like, you know, the comments he would make after the game. If we come up to him, he'd be like, you play good, but yeah, I would do this, I would do that, and we would laugh here and there. So it's nothing but love whenever he comes around. We've had a number of talks, a number of one-on-one talks, and so just, like I said, just, you know, hearing from him, talking with him, it's nothing but a blessing, because you ask me this when I'm in high school, middle school, I would have never pictured any of this for sure. So
that sounds exactly like something he would say, definitely. I came out of the tunnel about 30 or 40 minutes after the game on Sunday, and it reminded me of those days, you know, Fred VanVleet, Ron Baker, when people would hang around for you know, a long time after the game, wanting to sign autographs, wanted to slap hands with guys. You're out there signing autographs. Why is it important to do stuff like that?
Man, that stuff is easy, man, and it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, you know, to make someone else smile. It doesn't take much to make somebody else's day. And I just look at everything, man. This is all bigger than me. All these awards, all these, you know, accolades and interviews and everything, it's all a blessing, and I wouldn't, you know, trade it for the world. But at the same time, man, I'm just trying to give back. I'm trying to, you know, inspire the next person, because I won't be here forever. Everything is temporary, but just trying to enjoy the moment, be where my feet are, and maximize, you know, my opportunities. And if, you know, if those opportunities mean, you know, giving back, staying late after games in my uniform just to sign, you know, a couple of arm sleeves, take a couple pictures with fans, that stuff doesn't hurt me at all. If anything, that makes me feel good inside just as much as them, if not more. So I just, you know, I take pride in that, and that's something that I really do enjoy for sure.
So a few years ago, I counted, there are 30 steps, roughly 30 steps from up the tunnel from the locker room to the court at Koch Arena. Mm-hmm. That always seems like that's an important moment for guys, and you're winding it down here. Take us through that run up the tunnel before you hit the court. What's going through your mind?
You know, man, just more so just, you know, trying to let go of everything, focus in on the moment. You know, I've said it a number of times throughout this podcast as well, but just trying to be where my feet are, and leaning on the guys right next to me, my teammates and the guys who, you know, have shown up with me every single day in those film sessions and those practices, who've put the work in with me, who are trying to go out and execute for one common goal just like I am, you know, just trying to focus on them and focus on, you know, what I need to do to essentially help the team in the moment, not necessarily do too much, but whatever it is that I need to, whatever it is that I'm called for in that game, just trying to, you know, deliver for my teammates for sure.
So let's say Andover Central says, Xavier, we'd like you to come back and talk to our guys, talk to our athletes. Mm-hmm. What's your advice for a high school athlete who's starting to think about college?
Keep going, man. You know, being a regular high school kid from Andover Central, I would have, like I said, I would have never imagined playing for Wichita State, let alone at the level, you know, that we're playing at right now as a team, being 6-0 on this winning streak. You know, that's just something that you only dream about. But being a part of it and being, you know, being in it and in the middle of it, man, it's nothing but attainable, I would say. So I would just say, keep going, lean into the hardships, lean into all the emotions that, you know, maybe coming up in whatever times that, you know, everybody's having. But those moments make you as an individual. They teach you lessons that, you know, I think, you know, avoiding, you if you avoid those hard moments and avoid those emotions, you know, you'll miss out on some great life lessons. But just understanding that everybody's journey is different, believing in yourself, believing in, you know, something greater than yourself, and just trying to lean into that and feed into that and find something, you know, daily that fuels the fire, I would say, for sure.
The Shockers are 17-10. They're on a 6-game win streak. They play UAB 8 p.m. Thursday, Koch Arena. That game is on ESPNU. Xavier Bell, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We encourage you to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com.
Malcolm out near the timeline. Left side of the floor to Baker. Ron works deeper to the wing, fires a three. Good! Ron Baker with his third 3-point field goal of the game, and Wichita State goes ahead by 4.